Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 5. Those of you who don't have your Bibles, it'll be behind me in just a moment. Luke chapter 5, I believe God wants to do a work. Verse 17, chapter 5, the book of Luke. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken of palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto them, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemy? Who can forgive sin but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your heart? Whether it's easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk. But that ye may know the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up the couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. We ask God you would touch us with your anointing, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. I like what it said. We've seen strange things. When's the last time you was in church and saw a strange thing? What is a strange thing? Something out of the ordinary. I want to talk to you tonight about there is a miracle in the house. And I believe I may be talking to somebody instead of just giving you the title of a sermon. I believe my God is still a miraculous God. Heard a guy preaching the other day on the radio, and he said, The days of Bible miracles are over. I won't call the name of the denomination, but they believe all miracles ceased in 64 A.D. Now, those of you know what that means, that means that when John died of natural causes, isn't it amazing? The only guy that went with him to the judgment hall and stood at his feet while he was crucified, the one who laid his head on Jesus' chest, I mean, they tried to kill him. He just wouldn't die. They took him to the Isle of Patmos and put him out where there wasn't nothing but bad water and bad food, poisonous snakes. They go back to get him. The dude's sitting on the dock going, Man, I got a revelation while I was here. I got to get back and record this. I got a book going to be a bestseller. Some of y'all going, What book? Book of Revelation. He was revealed to him on that island. You know what he said? He said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and God started talking to him. He gets in the Sabbath having church, and God just reveals the entire book of Revelation to him. And he gets back and writes, and sure enough, it's a big seller. Glory. So they decide, We'll boil that dude. We get rid of him. They put him in a vat of hot oil on a fire. And he says, Hey, could you throw in a couple more logs? It feels good in here. Glory. He thought it was an old-time jacuzzi. He was having a big time. But how dumb is it to believe that one of the disciples could stop all the miracles? Can you imagine how dumb that is? I mean, you got people lined up down the road trying to get in the house so he can lay hands on them, and he's dying, and they're getting him one at a time, and he's bad. They can't get his old hand up to touch him, and finally God walks out and says, Well, go home. No more miracles. He's dead. So that's stupid, preacher. Well, they're preaching that, and their people are swallowing it. He's got it on the radio. And what's even sadder, we got folks sitting in our church think God's days of miracles are over. They give up on ever receiving from God, ever having anything happen to them. They just let go and forgot that God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. He doesn't even have a shadow of a turn in him. And the same God that spoke the worlds into existence, the same God that held the sun still in the sky, the same God who made man out of the dust of the earth, the same God who healed the wounded man, who made the blinded eye to see, who made the lame to walk, that same God still on the throne today. And whatever you need, there's a miracle in the power of God to touch your life. Could you say amen? Glory. I need a miracle on my glasses. I just crushed them. Glory. This sermon may not be as good as I thought. I can't read now. Glory. At least I won't be like the guy at Summerton Church of God. He was up preaching one morning, and he got to looking, dug all around his pockets, and looked down, started reading scripture, started shouting, said, God's healed me. I can't find my glasses. God's healed me. His wife said, dummy, they're on your face. Glory. That actually happened right here in Alabama. I won't name the name, but I got a phone call that afternoon, and I died all afternoon because I could just see me doing something like that. Glory. Amen. The Bible tells me they got a man with palsy. He's in Capernaum. The fame of Jesus has gotten so great that even the doctors and the lawyers and the educated people are turning out to listen to him because he's astounding them with his depth. They got scribes and Pharisees from the temple showing up. And he's there in Capernaum, and he goes to this house, and there's so many people come up because you got to understand the way they deal. Over there, you don't have to be invited. You just show up at somebody's house, and because of custom, they're required to let you in. So they show up, pile in this house, and Jesus is in there, and he just starts teaching. And these guys here, he's there, and they're going, man, if we could just get this guy to Jesus. How many of us over the years have made the statement about our loved ones, if we could just get them to Jesus? If we could just get them to where he is? If we could just get them into his presence? Well, if you understand the God you're supposed to be serving, wherever they are, they're in his presence. All we've got to do is start to believe. Come on, church. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Raymond Spain, pastoring a church in his early ministry, or not his early ministry, but in his ministry, he went back to preach a homecoming. He was overseer of Alabama. They had an elderly lady there whose son was in Vietnam. He flew airplanes, and she was worried about him, and she had just about been going into, you know, fever pitch over this boy, because every time she tried to check on him, she couldn't find out nothing. He couldn't tell nobody what he was doing because it was all secret, and he was there flying planes, and he actually, understand, he actually flew one of those photograph planes. His problem was all his plane had was cameras. I don't know if y'all understand that when you're flying over enemy territory and they shoot missiles at you, you really like to have something to shoot back with. But all he done was took the picture. But he had one of the fastest planes America has, full of electronics and all this stuff. And she kept talking to her pastor. She was worried about her son. That particular morning, she lost it. She come into church. She was shouting. She was dancing from the first song. Brother Spain said he went to her and he said, sis, what you so excited about? She said, I figured out something this morning. My boy's better off over there in Vietnam with God than he'd ever be at my house with me trying to take care of him, because I can't keep him from harm. I can't keep him out of trouble. And this morning I prayed through and realized he's with God. You know, that afternoon he's on a flight. It's cloudy. He can't see a thing. He's out taking pictures and making a run. And he said, I'm going down through there. And he said, just to be honest with you, he said, I laid the lead down on that thing. And he said, I was clicking along at a little under 2,000 miles an hour. He said, I'm sitting back on cruise control, taking it easy. Camera snapping. And he said, all of a sudden, lightning hit. The clouds parted in front of me, and I saw a gigantic mountain sitting in front of me, and I realized, oh, my. He said, I grabbed the thruster and turned, and as I turned, I felt the plane slide across the trees on the side of that mountain as I was turning. And he said, according to the pictures, I was actually touching the trees when the plane went by. He said, but you know what? If God hadn't have sent that lightning, I'd have flown right to the side of that mountain. But he said, I realized I don't have nothing to worry about, because even though my radar wasn't working properly and the sonar didn't pick up that mountain coming at me, I had a God who took care of me in the midst of everything. Could you say amen? Notice this. They got their friend there. They couldn't get him in. So they started getting a little strange. You ever notice church folks sometimes, folks think we're a little strange because we act the way we do. Not so much here. We have had a couple show up and say they wasn't coming back, but I know one guy had come here and he just said, I ain't going back to that church. I don't know if it was conviction or he just got scared. It might have been both. But I got to be honest with you, church. If we're worshiping God and God's in it, more people will stay than will leave. But these guys got to acting weird. I mean, normal folk would have just went home, waited for a better time. Hello. Some of you have come to church and you thought, well, this ain't the right time nor the right place, and I'll wait till the right preacher shows up. And we honestly have people that will come to our local churches and don't believe God's ever going to do anything, and they'll go to one of these miracle shows. Oh, I didn't say that wrongly. I said it exactly how it is. It's a performance. They go to these performances believing something's going to happen, and they'll go to somewhere like Memphis or New Orleans or Atlanta, and they'll rent them a motel, and they'll run down there and try to get on the front row. What they find out is only those that support that ministry get down on the front row. If you're lucky, you can hang around long enough, you'll finally get down there so that guy will throw his coat over your head or blow on you. Hallelujah. Some of y'all I got that mad at me now. I got on your hero. Not getting on your hero. I'm just trying to tell you. He may be perfect. But my Bible said, call on the elders of the church. Know those who labor among you. If they're sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. What that says is that if I can believe God right here, like I can believe God over there, I can get touched, because God's the one's got to do it or it ain't going to happen. And it's time some of us got back to the place, my God's just as real in alabaster as he is anywhere else. And if I come to the house of God and I believe, all things are possible unto them that will believe. Could you say? Amen. But now notice this. We live in a world of fast-paced society. I'm as bad as anybody. If I go through the drive-thru, I want to do it. I want to drive through. Dumbest thing I ever seen is setting a line at a drive-thru. That's an oxymoron in this world if there ever was one. It ain't a drive-thru if you got a set in line. And it ain't fast food if you gotta wait on it. I mean, this stuff's gotten so bad. They've got a place over in Birmingham where they got a drive-up prayer place. You drive up, pull up, and a person comes out there and sits down and prays with you while you're in your car. You ain't even gotta get out and go in. Some of y'all waiting on the joke, but that ain't no joke. That's actually here in Birmingham. I saw it advertised in Birmingham News the other day. It's a Methodist church over in Birmingham somewhere where they got people on staff that sit in this little window and wait for you to come by, and they go out there and pray with you. So, oh, that's awesome. That's okay. But are we getting so messed up we got to have fast prayer and fast food? And now we go to church, and if it's going to take a while, we ain't got time to wait to see if a miracle's going to happen. We got to go. Because if it's 5 minutes after 12, I'm about to miss some food down there at Shoney's or wherever. Ain't a Shoney's around here, Cracker Barrel or whatever. The Baptists and the Methodists will beat us if we ain't out by 12. Sunday night, we can't go past 8 o'clock. Dairy Queen closes. And they'll turn the lights off at 5 till, if not before. I was running revival in Copeland, Alabama. Those were Copeland's at. It's out yonder, plumb over yonder, past everything. Since South Alabama in the country outside of Chatham and Millery. Chatham and Millery ain't nothing but a spot in the road, but you can go out either one of them down a back road and get to Copeland. And what I'm telling you is it's in the middle of nowhere. Dude walked up to me on Sunday night and he took a $100 bill, tore it in half, give me half of it, said, you get the other half, you got me out by 9 o'clock every night. I'm like, there's nowhere to eat around here. What do you want out by 9 o'clock? He said, they got a special on TBS this week. Jake and the Fat Man's on every night at 9 o'clock. It's my favorite show. I don't want to miss it. I'll be honest with you, church. I made sure I went past 9 o'clock on Sunday night, and I don't usually do that no matter what, but I tried everything I could to hold everybody up to be sure we didn't get out to after 9. Monday night, 9:30, he walked by and said, you must not want the rest of this money. I said, don't need it. He said, what are you talking about? I said, you gave me the side with the stamp on it. I can turn this in for $100. I don't need that half you got. Glory. He said, you'd do that, wouldn't you, preacher? I said, probably. I preached the rest of the week, and I didn't push it past 9 o'clock. I got him out. That was his business, what he wanted to do. I'll never forget Friday night. He come up crying, hugged my neck, said, I love you, preacher. And he gave me $200, and I gave him that half back. I started to keep it, make it three. Glory. Amen. I couldn't believe he didn't have time for a miracle. That's where we are. But instead of going home and saying, wait, we'll come another day, they realized this is a day. This is a time of appointment. This is when I need to get to God. Church, let me tell you something. God ain't going to just keep hanging around. Sometimes you got to move. If you know God's wanting to touch you, not to get into it. They took their buddy up on the top. They had a break-in. Boy, you're doing good when you break in to get blessed. Glory. They go upstairs, and you see most of the houses in Israel are built so that during the rainy season, they can take the tiles off, the rain falls in, and there's a cistern built right up under it, and they catch water in the house. And then after the rainy season, to keep them getting too hot in the house, they put tiles over the hole. So they didn't tear the guy's roof up. They just moved the tiles off the hole, let the man down through right by the cistern, and kind of swung him a little bit and laid him right next to Jesus. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? It's time some of us decided we got to do what we got to do to get what we got to have. Come on, church. Amen. Sometimes we have to work to get to Jesus. Sometimes we got to get past mental blocks. Sometimes physical ailments. Sometimes other things keep us from getting where we need to be. But we need to get to that place we understand. Amen. Even when we don't see him, he's there. Listen to what Job said in Job 23 and 8. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there. And backwards, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. And hideth himself on the right hand, and I cannot see him. Now, Job's having a problem because he's having a tough time, and he can't find God. Amen. Notice the faith of his friends. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe. He's talking to the father. His son was down in the book of Mark, the 9th chapter, the 23rd verse. And the dad's son's there, and he's got a demon in him. And he's frothing at the mouth, throwing himself down and wallowing all over the place. Come on, church. There are real demons. Now, I've seen people get carried away. We got folks that walk around with oil talking about they chasing demons. Somebody needs to pray for them. If you out looking for demons, you dumb. My Bible didn't tell me to go fighting and running demons. It said if you run into one, you can handle them, but don't go looking for a fight. Oh, come on. Some of you got mad about that, but it's the truth. And we got some people take things way over to the left side, and because of that, they make good people not willing to admit that there are such things as demons. I was at church one night, and a lady came up and she said, I need you to pray for my son. He got a chocolate demon. And I'm like, I got one of them. I just don't believe they're chocolate demons. I was at church one night where the preacher got to talking to the person who's been demon possessed. Said, tell me your name. What's your name? He come over me and said, help me. I said, I don't want to talk to them. I want to cast them out. I don't want to get friends with them. I've never seen the Bible where I'm supposed to ask them. I know Jesus asked, but there was a purpose for that. Because when they answered, they didn't tell them individual names. They said, we're legion because we are many. But we won't give them names. Chocolate demon, fat demon. Why don't we just do what Jesus said and cast them out in the name of Jesus Christ and go on about our business? Oh, come on, church. This is truth. Amen. Notice what happened. The guy's son's got the palsy. Notice what he said. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and prayed a prayer with tears in his eyes. He said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. You know what he said? He said, God, let me get back to the place I believe so hard that when I'm not getting what I want, I'll tear a roof tile off so I can get to Jesus. I don't care what it takes. I want to get blessed. I want to get ministered to. Come on, church. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Sometimes God asks you to do some things that don't seem like they're real and maybe seem just a little dumb. But if you do it, you'll get blessed. Told Naaman, go dip in the pond 7 times. And he's going, wait a minute, Jordan's dirty, filthy. That's what the word Jordan means, is filthy and flowing down. He said, why would I want to get in that? The rivers back in Syria are a lot nicer than this, and I'm not going to do that. But you know what? When he finally was obedient to God, it wasn't the fact it was the Jordan River. It was the obedience that brought it down. And some of you need to understand obedience is better than sacrifice. It's not what you give up. It's whether or not you're faithful to what God's asked of you. And if you do it, there can't be a break-in and God can minister. But notice this, not only did they have a break-in, but they had a breakthrough. There were obstacles in the house. 17th verse. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now notice something. The power of the Lord was present to heal, but they weren't there to get healed. They were there to nitpick everything Jesus said to prove he wasn't who they thought he was. Not yet. See, there's some folks so busy trying to nitpick the preacher, they don't realize God's trying to bless them. I'm still working on the sermon. I keep promising it to you. Sooner or later, I'm going to get it. I've got it pretty much worked out. It's actually held in my computer. But I'm going to get them 2 million loads of dirt and preach it to you sooner or later. I just got to wait on God to tell me. But we got so many folks that come to church, they hear something a preacher says, they focus on it and miss everything else. That's what Naaman done. The prophet said, you can have anything you want. Take back to Syria. What would have happened? Naaman said, I won't. The blessings of God, the anointing of God you've got. Huh? Because he would have been obligated to give it to him and pray for God to give him his anointing. But he didn't say that. He said, I like 2 mule loads of that dirt you stand on while you over talking. Glory. That way I can carry it back to Syria and worship on it like you do. Hello? Jesus is there getting ready to heal people, and religion got in the way. Hello? Well, we don't believe in healing because, you know, scriptures do beat out that Jesus done great miracles. But, you know, there's no such thing as miracles now. I mean, you know, God wasn't dealing with cancer and heart trouble and all that stuff we have to deal with today. You got churches today that if you said you was going to anoint somebody with oil, they'll run you out the building. Well, that's dumb. Why would you do that? Then you got others get carried away. I remember years ago, Perry Stone was at Northport. Matter of fact, Steve Wallace had been here to preach, was the guy who did it to me. He said, can I do what I want to do? He said, yeah, and he just poured a whole bottle of oil on Steve. Another evangelist was there watching it. He got excited. Next revival, he dumped a bottle of oil on somebody. He got to doing it every week. He'd find somebody, pour oil on them. It got so bad, even some of our preachers who didn't joke started joking about him. One of our older preachers come up to me one day and said, "Did you hear about so-and-so?" And he called his name. I'm not going to call his name. He said, "He's having a great revival." I said, "Really? What's going on?" He said, "I don't know, but I seen him at the bookstore buying 5 gallon oil." Glory. And I'm like, it's bad when he's joking on you. Glory. You say, "Preacher, what are you getting at?" The religious folks today say, "No, it can't happen." But not only that, you had the rationale people. Well, you know, let's be real. When the doctor says you're dying, that's it, son. Come on, church. That's what rational people think. I mean, it's irrational to believe God could heal somebody with terminal cancer. It's irrational to believe that God could heal something that all of our knowledgeable men can't do anything with. And then they go, "You need to get a dose of reality, buddy. You're living in a dream world somewhere." Well, let me dream. All I know is my mom was supposed to die in 1974, and she didn't die to 2005, and they still say she's still cancer-free, and the reason I'm your pastor is because I said, "God, if you'll heal my mama, I'll preach." Glory. And next thing I know, I done shot my mouth off, and he put his money where my mouth was. Amen. My mom had 6 months to live, and she come back saying, "We can't find the cancer. We don't know where it's at." And I'm going, "Oh, man, I got to preach." Glory. I don't regret it. I've been called to preach all my life just about it. I just didn't want to do it. But I realized a God that can do that is a God that can take care of anything I need. Come on, church. Amen. Some of y'all thought I was crazy back in February. But I really feel the way I said that. Last February was cancer. This February was heart. I can't wait till next year. I just can't wait to see what the devil's going to throw at me next. But I know one thing. I ain't leaving here till God's ready for me to go. And I'm not leaving no matter what they say because I've got a God. It doesn't have to be rational. It don't have to be reality. All I know is my God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all I'd ever ask. Jesus had another run-in in Capernaum. He just lands in the boat first day. Crowds all around. Bible said they were some of everybody. Fat people, skinny people, rich folks, poor folks. Out of the middle of all that crowd, a guy walks through and everybody bows and backs up because he's the leader of the synagogue, the number one Pharisee or Sadducee in the bunch. And he goes against everything he's ever believed. Have y'all ever heard that junk? "Well, brother, I wasn't raised that way." I wasn't either, but you get desperate, you'll forget about how you was raised. Come on, church. I wasn't raised that way. This guy was raised to believe in Jehovah. He was raised to believe this guy was a heretic, a blasphemer. But his daughter was dying, and he could care less about anything else other than the fact he believed Jesus had an answer. And he walks up, and the Bible said he knelt in front of him and worshiped him. Now, y'all might not understand this, but that means he's going to be stoned to death as a heretic by the only people of his own church. But he don't care. Some of y'all need to quit worrying about how you was raised. And I didn't hear it that way when I was a kid. And get this book down and start reading and say, "Look, I don't care what Paul didn't know. I found out something tonight. There is a God who is able, a God who has the desire to minister, a God who still heals, who still has the power to get rid of it and say, I'm headed to him and nothing is going to keep me back." That guy kneels down and notice something. Jesus wasn't denominational. I was at camp meeting one time, this guy was talking about books, and I said, "Have you ever read Pilgrim's Progress?" He said, "Who wrote it?" "I got it wrong." I said, "Paul Bunyan." Those of you know Paul Bunyan's a guy with a blue ox, chopped down trees by the thousands. It was actually John Bunyan. I corrected myself as soon as I said it because I realized Paul wasn't the one who wrote that book. I said, "John Bunyan." He said, "He Church of God?" I said, "Well, no, there wasn't a Church of God when he wrote that book." He said, Well, I don't want to read Church of God preachers. I said, well, that's a pretty dim view. He said, well, I'm Church of God. I said, I am too, but I read other people. He said, you'll get mixed up. I said, no, I'll probably learn more than you. I'm sorry, one of my favorite writers, Church of Christ. I love to read it. I know when he's saying something that ain't in the scripture, but I know when he says other stuff that I like. Any of y'all ever read Max Lucado? He's Church of Christ. Great writer. Can't preach. I've been to hear him. I went to sleep. It's embarrassing when somebody bumps you and goes, hey, you're snoring. Oh, I gotta go. Glory. Come on, church. But I read every book the man's wrote. Probably got them in my office right now. If they're not there, they're at home. I like his writing. I learn stuff from him. I know when he says something I don't agree with. I've looked the scripture and I throw it out. Hello? Jesus is standing there and all of a sudden, y'all thought I forgot where I was at, didn't you? Well, I did though, put my glasses back on. No, I didn't. That guy standing there and Jesus didn't look at him and say, well, you ain't my denomination. And a guy asked me one day, said, what denomination are you? I said, I go to a church worth $100 at least. I'm a big denomination. Oh. He got mad at me. Church, Jesus didn't say I'm not your denomination. He said, let's go to your house. I don't have anything on my calendar that's more important than your daughter's dying. Let's go. And they head toward the house. Now, there was a miracle happened on the way, but before they could get there, the religious folks showed up. Don't need to be in no hurry. Your daughter's dead. Notice how Jesus answered. Only believe. Your daughter's not dead. She's asleep. You can see the people going, what in that case is he hooked on to? The woman girl's dead. I'd have been up there and checked her. She ain't breathing. She ain't asleep. Jesus gets to the house, and sure enough, more church folks just showed up. Y'all may not understand this, but they had people that came and cried for you when somebody died in Jesus' day. They were called mourners. You paid them so you'd have a long enough funeral. So they cried the whole time. And they're already there waiting on the payday. Whoa, this is going to be good. She's going to stay a while. We're going to make some big money. As bad as some of us, we find out somebody got a bad deal from the doctor. We start figuring out what we're cooking for the wake. Well, I guess I'll take tater salad. Church will buy some ham. That'll go with it. Come on, church. You say, preacher, what's wrong with that? Why don't we start believing in healing again? Why don't we start believing God is still able to take a person on their deathbed and lift them up again and bring them out? Come on, church. Some said, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not. I'm living on the edge. My great doctor keeps encouraging me every time I go to see him. Well, it's an 80% chance it's coming back. And I'm going, hey, there's a 20% chance it ain't. And I'm hanging on to that. Come on, church. Some of y'all like, preacher, you're crazy. Might be, but I'm still here, and I'm going to hang on till it's over with. Why? Because I've got a God who has the power to do miracles. I've got a God that can turn the situation around. Come on, church. It's time some of us started looking at what God's already done and realize that God that did it then is a God that can do it now. And if it's tomorrow, he can still do it by his power. Listen. They had a breakthrough. Just as that little girl got up, I'm not going to leave the story. He run the church folks out, took his men with him, and the mom and daddy. And he walked in, and I can see mom and dad in the corner going, I really don't know how this is going to work. And then he spoke to her in her own language. That's why it's not translated in your scripture. He spoke in Aramaic, which is a mixture of Hebrew and Arabic. But that little girl knew it, and since he was raised around that area, he knew she would know that language. And he said, Talamatha Kuman. He didn't have to stand there and think and process. He just sucked in, took her by the hand, said, damsel, get up. The Bible says she come up out that bed. It didn't take 30 minutes, an hour. He didn't have to do incantations. You ever been where they've got pray for you and they say, what do you need now? Had a guy at my home church one night. He was knocking people all over the place. He come over to me and I said, now, dude, if God's in it, go ahead. But if he ain't, you better read. I'm going to swing back. You know, he didn't hear me. He said, oh, in the name of Jesus. Hello? After church, he took me off the side. And he's dead now, so I can tell you who it was. His name was E.L. I won't call the rest of the name. But he took me off the side and he said, would you really hit me? I said, probably. He looked up at the pastor said, I know he would have. Glory. Now, if God's in it, that's fine. But don't knock my head off just for the fun of it. Come on, church. Smile at me. Amen. Somebody said, what's it got to do with your sermon? Nothing. It's a miracle I'm getting through. Glory. They had a breakout. What happened? Notice what happened. 25th verse. And immediately he arose up before them, took up whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Some of those rational men had to deal with irrational event. Some of those religious people had to come to reality that maybe we ain't read it all. Say, what are you getting at? I think it's time we started blowing some folks' mind around here. And we started seeing some miracles happen around here. Amen. Any of y'all ever heard of David Wilkerson? Before he ever had Peen Challenge, he took a little church in Pennsylvania running 50. When he left there, they were running 600 and having turn away crowds every Sunday night because miracles started happening and people were loading up in buses and going to that church to see a miracle happen. Church, it's not going to happen because Ken Stroop's here. It's going to happen because Jesus Christ is in the house. And if Jesus is in the house, folks will find a way to get people in that house that have needs. And I'm telling you, there's a miracle in the house. God is here. And where God is, there's a miracle possible to them that will believe. Stand with me all over the house. I got a couple other scriptures about breakout, but those were both in Daniel, where God proved himself to be who he is. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went in the fire, the king come out saying after it's over, there's no other God than the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. A few years later, new king, same kingdom. They throw Daniel in the lion's den. He comes crawling out the lion's den. The king says, I say there's no other God than the God of Daniel. Hallelujah. It's time we let Alabaster know we've got God. He's here in the house, and there's no other God. Muhammad can't do it. Buddha can't do it. You can shout high Christ and all you want to. It ain't going to happen. But if you'll call on the name of my Lord and believe in him, all things are possible unto them who will believe. Could you say amen? There's a miracle in the house tonight. In 1982, they told me and Frieda we'd never have kids. Biological impossibility for us to have children. We had to adopt. I guess a tickle when they start matching them up, saying Alex looks like Frieda and Alicia looks like me. But there's a reason for that. September 1983. Less than a year after that doctor said, you will never have children, my son was born. What could have been the happiest day of my life put me in turmoil spiritually because just a week before she told me she was pregnant, this guy stops me at the back of a church and said, the very thing that destroyed your father's ministry will tear you up this year and take you out. I laughed. Matter of fact, I was sitting in the office in Alexander, Louisiana, talking to the pastor, Wallace White. We were laughing about that guy telling me that because I just got through telling him, we can't have kids. There's no way I can have a two-month-old die. And it cost me my ministry. I can't have a child. And then all of a sudden, she calls me that day. And she says, I'm pregnant. We're going to have a child. I was excited, but I was also very skeptical. I remember he was born, and they brought him to us for the first time. It's about 9 o'clock, something like that, on that Sunday morning. They brought me a bottle with 1.5 ounces of milk. I thought he had to take all of it. I didn't know he was supposed to just take what he wanted, so I force-fed it to him. I got it all down him. He'd stop, not he'd have to take it down or drown. They come in there and they said, "Well, why did he do? Did he get a little of that bottle?" I said, "He got it all." They said, "Oh, ain't no way he took it." I said, "Yeah, it's empty." They said, "Oh, he'll have colic. He'll be sick. We're going to leave him, y'all." I said, "No, I'm fixing to leave. Go preach. Y'all got to take him back to the nursery." You know, at that first bottle, I had a problem. I made up my mind I wasn't going to get close to him. At that first bottle, I was in trouble. November, Vidalia, Louisiana, I get a phone call. "You need to come home. Boo's in the hospital. We don't know what's wrong with him. His blood pressure's dropped. His temperature is high. They got him packed in ice." I come home to see my child laying in a bed with needles in both legs, both arms, the side of his head. I remember I walked in that room. It's 2 o'clock in the morning because, just to be honest with you, I stayed and preached before I left. I didn't know what I was going to run into, but I figured I could spend a couple of hours before I left coming home. Because in the back of my mind, I'm thinking the devil's trying to take me out, but I'm not falling for this. I went home. They told me to go home. They were there at the hospital and come back. Now, I left, but I didn't go home. I went downstairs to the chapel, and I prayed. I remember the last thing I said sometime early that morning. I said, "God, if you're going to take him, take him. But do it early. Because I got to be in Vidalia, Louisiana at 7 o'clock to preach tonight, one way or the other. And I'm not backing out, and I'm not quitting, and I'm not turning around." I'll never forget, I got back up there, and one of the IVs had come out, and I found a bottle of Pedialyte, and I kind of done the same thing with it I did that first bottle. And he got some Pedialyte down. The doctor said, "Man, this is great." About 11 o'clock, his temperature had broke. I don't even know to this day if they ever found out what was wrong with him. But I'll never forget, I went by and picked up my nephew, and I said, "You need to go with me tonight. I can't drive that far, as tired as I am." And we drove to Vidalia, Louisiana. You better believe I had church that night. He said, "Well, that's awesome. Well, it gets better." 2 years later, doctors tell me my wife's got 15 years of normal life to live. I'm probably not going to live much longer than that. Lupus. It's December, and I'm preaching for Brother Barnett, Thomasville. Brother Goodwin's aunt. This woman's not normal. She's a great lady. Very quiet, so to speak, but when she got happy, she became a total different human being. She'd squall, and they wasn't going to be a coon or anything anywhere around. I mean, it was high-pitched. Didn't mess up dogs for a mile. And I'm down at Thomasville, and I'm standing there and I said, "Brother Barnett, would you pray for Sister Barnett?" And in all the time I'd ever known these people and stayed in their home, I'd never seen Sister Barnett fall out. She always would go, "Whoa!" He walked back, laid his hand on her, and she said, "Oh!" And then she was going back to me and grabbed her, and she's a pretty good-sized lady. But the minute they touched her, they fell in the floor behind her, and all three of them laying on the floor speaking in tongues. I got home that night. Frieda was sitting up in that church. Y'all got to understand something. Frieda usually goes to bed before the chickens put their pajamas on. So when she sat in the living room at midnight when I got home, I knew something was up. She said, "I got goosebumps on me." About 8:30, about the time Sister Barnett hit that floor, something hit her in Buell. We went back to the Kirkland Clinic, and they'd done their test again. That little Indian guy come in there, and he said, "Mr. Throop, We don't know what your wife had, but she don't got it no more. And then God answered her prayer. And you heard her singing a while ago. And Dr. Steele said, you can't have no kids. When she was born, he walks out and hands it to me. And he says, man, ain't no doubt about this one. Glory. That was November. Show you how the devil operates. January, I'm at prayer conference. Frieda calls me. Alicia's in the hospital. She's in intensive care. She had an RSV virus, and it was about to take her out. And all I could think coming home was, oh, God, not again. I got there, and I'm normal dad. I'm chewing out everybody. I jumped on the doctor, and I told him, I said, hey, you got to do something. He said, you can't afford it. I said, what do you mean? He said, $4,500 a day plus $1,000 to the respiratory therapist. I said, you do it. He said, we're talking minimum 3 days, maximum of 9. I said, do it. He said, you got that kind of money? I said, I get it. I rob a bank. You don't worry about it. You'll get your money. Don't look at me like that. If your child laying there, you'd have felt the same way. He said, you want me to send her to Children's Hospital? I said, no. I want you to do what you went to school to learn how to do. Smart aleck doctor got to that door, turned around, and he said, have you done what you trained to do, preacher? Just turn it on down the hall. Just as pretty as you please. I got there that night, got down on the floor and started praying. The Holy Ghost fell in that room. I don't think it's an accident. The next day she started getting better. We never had to do that treatment. God brought her out. You said, what are you getting at? There's a miracle for somebody tonight. God just blessed me. He blesses anybody that will believe, anybody that will let it go. And we got people here that need healing. We got people that need a miracle in their finances. We got people that need deliverance. And it's time we begin to believe there's a miracle in the house again, in the house of the Lord tonight. The presence of God has been in this building from 1 minute in till now. God's wanting to move. And I believe with all my heart, God's ready to do something in some of your lives. God's ready to do a miracle. God's ready to turn some things around. Father, I thank you tonight for your love, for your mercy. Holy Spirit of God, roll the clouds away. Roll them away, God. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.